is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. What we are Jalen Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
What a show we have for you today. The Big Ten will return to playing football. The Heat took a 1-0 lead over the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, but we start with the choke, the collapse of the Clippers. It was so bad. At the end of the game, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George weren't even on the floor as the Nuggets took the series and go to the Western Conference Finals. Jalen, let's start with Kawhi, who's been so good and so consistent through these playoffs. What happened to him last night?
The Clippers didn't lose. They got waxed. They got waxed. It wasn't even close. Kawhi Leonard disappointed Jacoby. 0 points in the fourth quarter from the claw. No lockdown defense on the perimeter against Jamal Murray, who's giving your squad 40. I was really disappointed in the fact that he wasn't able to lift the team. And great players do have bad games. It does take place. But he's in a different category, Jacoby. He's in the best in the game category. He was the king of the court. See, I'm not in any players' pockets, and I don't cheerlead individuals, especially if they don't represent Detroit. So therefore, I call out results. And when you win finals MVP, you're the king of the court when you Kawhi Leonard. And you deserve to have that crown until somebody takes it from you. And you get it taken by my Denver Nuggets, a young squad that has never even been to the big game yet together. It's unacceptable. It really is.
Well, this is not just on Kawhi Leonard. This was a team malfunction. And you said that good players have bad games. That's what happened with Kawhi. But it seems like with Paul George, bad games are what happened to him in this series. Why was he so up and down throughout this playoffs?
See, here's what happens, Jacoby, this is the evolution of the player. So you go from being a guy in Indiana to playing alongside Russ, and you elevate your game at OKC and become an MVP candidate. And he's dealt with some horrific injuries, and he's overcome them. Mm-hmm. So now as a member of OKC, when Dame Dolla shoots you guys down, and then you go to the Clippers, it's like we're about to get some things done. And you go to the press conference afterwards and was like it wasn't championship or bust? Did he not know that they have four guys averaging almost 20 points this year? That when you look on their sideline, Doc Rivers, Ty Lue, Sam Cassell can all be head coaches in the league? That they got Jerry West in the front office, Steve Ballmer as an owner writing blank checks? It was championship or bust, PG. And when you call yourself playoff P, now I look down at my phone, people going to make fun. Way off P. It's trending, Jacoby, like you just said. For Kawhi, it's a bad game. For Paul George, this seems to be a trend. And that's unfortunate if you're a Clippers fan.
It absolutely does. And look at these numbers. In the entire fourth quarter, the combined duo, one of the best duos in the NBA, had 0 points in a fourth quarter in which they were trailing in a game seven. It's unspeakable, but the blame is not shouldered by just these two. There's also those other players you mentioned. The secret weapon of the Clippers was their depth, was their second unit, led by Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, who not just in last night's game, but in this series, I'm going to say it, became a liability. Whenever Jokic felt like he had Harrell on him, he could just score. He had more confidence. He had more room. He had more space. And whenever Lou Williams was on the defensive end, they sought him out and exploited him. And that wasn't just last night. That was in this game. With Harrell being a free agent, do you think that this poor performance in this series will impact him moving forward?
If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Of course it does. Look at the Western Conference. The Joker's on a young squad. That's ascending. You got to think about that when you re-sign a guy that's an undersized five that you want to finish games. Anthony Davis, look at all of the bigs that the Lakers have. You got to monitor that when you're talking about if you are a championship contender. And for Lou, never caught his rhythm. In and out of the bubble, had to be quarantined because he went to Magic City. Never
Those
really
rings,
was able to regain the player that he was in the regular season. Montrez, in and out of the bubble, was not able to sustain his enthusiasm to not only finish, but then carry that into defensive tenacity. Like you said, he became a weakness. He became something that's like, wait a minute, he ain't tall enough for the Joker. We got to get more Zubac in there. And I want to shout somebody, because it seems like when times got close yesterday for the Clippers, I kept hearing one name, and it wasn't Kawhi. It wasn't PG. It wasn't Montrez. It wasn't Lou Will. You know whose name it was? What guy plays up front for them? That plays up front for the Clippers. All of a sudden, he was getting layups. He was playing hard. He was trying to help them get back into the game. Wasn't even none of their big name players.
Did he used to play in the Lakers?
He did. He did.
Didn't we talk about Zubac?
Correct. Now just think about this for a second. You add a guy from that team to give you size, and now you hope you have a closing lineup. And now he's playing in front of Montrezl Harrell. And Montrezl Harrell now is going to come to the table and be looking for a $100 million deal. This is not the summer for him to be trying to get a big deal from the Clippers.
This is a debacle
of epidemic proportions. I saw something that the Don Mega Ice Cube posted on social media. He had the championship trophy, and he had the Clippers logo. And in the middle, it says socially distanced. That's what this reminds me of as a Lions fan, how the Clippers were yet so close and talked about it so much, but yet was so far away.
Well, we've spoken about the players that were on the floor, but we do have to put some attention on the coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. One of the best coaches in the NBA, if you ask anybody, and that is Doc Rivers, but the numbers are the numbers. Doc Rivers now has not one, not two, but three times blown a 3-1 lead in the playoffs. He's also blown a few 3-2 leads in the playoffs, and he doesn't do well in clinching games. Jalen, what do these numbers tell you about Doc and his approach to coaching in the NBA?
Well, this is where I say stats and analytics should be a tool, not the exact measure. Because as we transpose this and look back in 10 to 15 years, you can say whatever you want to say about Doc Rivers. Take it from somebody that was watching every dribble of this series. They didn't lose because of him. They didn't lose because of him. They lost because his best players did not show up. His six men of the year candidates did not show up. And they lost to a better, yep, I said it, in a seven-game series. The better team won, the Denver Nuggets.
Jalen, there was something about the Clippers this season in the bubble that sort of felt like a little arrogant. What do you think about the Clippers' attitude, and where do you think it came from?
Oh, a level of entitlement, because now PG and Kawhi playing in Cali for the Clippers, who have never done it. Now all of a sudden we're going to do something that's never done. And they didn't say not five, not six, not seven, but that was the overture of the entire organization. And then all of a sudden Dame Dollar, he struggled in the bubble one game, missed a couple of free throws late. Pat Beverly, they was laughing, but like I told you, they was kikiing a little too much. And then it carried on to social media. They was going back and forth. Paul George crossed the line, in my opinion. We talked about it on this show when he said, oh, y'all need to get ready for vacation. Oh, really? We need to get ready for vacation? That lets me know that y'all feel like y'all won something. Did I miss some sort of parade in L.A. featuring the Clippers? And then now when you're getting the brakes beat off of you by 20, C.J. McCollum, Dame Dollar, oh, they got the receipts. Those are the receipts, Jacoby. That's a level of talking about chips and entitlement before your franchise has ever achieved it. One, it has never gone to the conference finals, and after this season, still hasn't.
Wow. Wow. Well, Jalen, we've talked enough about the Clippers. Let's now celebrate the success that is this year's Denver Nuggets. Twice down 3-1, twice going to seven, twice winning, this time in convincing fashion. And I would say that this performance from Jokic last night was the most impactful 16-point performance I have ever seen. Celebrate our guy, the Stretch Mark 5.
Because he kept a minute until Murray got hot. in the second quarter. He was dropping dimes. He was keeping the floor open. And how he gets his offense is what makes him special, Jacoby. You can run a sideline out of bounds for the Joker, do a down screen, have him curl in the middle, and all of a sudden with his left hand, he's dropping it off to Grant. Or mid-range, when he's isolated against anybody, jumping off one leg, making jump shots. And then you can put him in pick and roll with Murray, the same exact thing. And so now when you have that guy and his intellect, it unlocks the floor. And then when Murray got going, it was lights out, baby. It was no different than how he was playing against Utah. It was outstanding to see him get going.
It really was. And I'm glad you said that about Murray, because he had such a great series going back and forth with Donovan Mitchell, 50-point games, 40-point games. And then the Clippers kind of locked him down early in the series, but he did get hot in that second quarter. And this felt like it was going to be a good Jamal Murray game. And that Jamal Murray performance, he had that thing that he had against the Jazz where he hit some really tough threes late. What did you see from Murray moving forward that can help them against the Lakers?
Both of those guys' shot-making ability and skill to be the best players on the team are very valuable and unique in today's game. And so now it keeps the floor open, and Millsap can cut, Grant can cut, Craig can cut, Morris has a chance to get downhill, Michael Porter Jr. can make a play. They uniquely run their offense because the Joker is the best center in the league. I voted him all NBA the last 2 years, and we joked on this show, yes, that is my king. I need therapy. I need counseling. I should not love one basketball player as much as I love the Joker. And over the last couple of years, it clearly has shown, because while a lot of people are now getting familiar with the Nuggets, I'm driving the bandwagon. And you sitting shotgun, my brother, because you've been right with it.
Oh, really? Because it seems like we're driving the bandwagon for the Clippers. So I don't know, about 3 days ago, your championship pick is out of the playoffs and mine is still alive. We know what the Western Conference matchup is now, but the Eastern Conference matchup has already started. We'll break down big game one action going into overtime. That's next on Jalen and Jacoby.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we have big news from the Big Ten. There will be football this season, the weekend of October 23rd. They will restart action in the Big Ten. Why do you think they waited so long to reverse course?
The schools realized that they can make money. The players realized that they could play the game that they love. The schools realized that they could get testing only for the athletes and allow them to play to make that money, but not have to get testing for all of the students who are there to just pay tuition and go to class. How about that?
Well, we will see how that happens. We wish them the best. It's just another opportunity for Michigan to lose to Ohio State. Now we move on to game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, and what a game it was. An overtime win for the Heat featuring this play by Bam Adebayo. Jalen, take us through this block.
Great drive by Jason Tatum late in the basketball game by Jimmy Butler, who ushers him, understanding that Bam is there. Terrific power, because he gets the ball right before it goes into the rim. Timing. And when you talk about rim protection, that's to the utmost degree. Now, when people start talking about greatest plays of all time, you got to put that in context based on when in the season it takes place. Like, is a championship on the line? Is it the finals? But there have been some great blocks throughout this playoff. James Harden late in the game against Dort for the late three, Kawhi Leonard, the one-finger middle block, and this one. A couple signature blocks that have taken place.
Absolutely. And that was the play that sort of closed the game, but that got them the lead was this play and other plays by Jimmy Butler in the fourth quarter. Now, I've seen all the stats, and everyone's told me that Jimmy Butler, of qualifying players, the worst jump shooter in the NBA. Well, guess what? In the fourth quarter, when he rises up to shoot from three, it goes in. So I don't care about the stat. Throw him out the window, because that play right there going to the basket against Jason Tatum giving up all that height and getting them the lead was so special. What is it about Jimmy Butler that everybody calls him a closer?
Because his personality is that of an irritant, and failure isn't an option in his mind. He's the best player in the game. I'm telling you, Chris Paul has this, Marcus Smart has this, and they're all different talents in their own right. That's why it seems he rises in the fourth quarter, Jacoby. When you look at the regular season stats, one of the worst three-point shooters in the league. Scissor kicking his leg, jumping into people, and they still go in because the Heat run their offense below the free throw line to allow him to get a rhythm on post-ups and on free throws. Then as the fourth quarter comes, he's more confident to take his game out the three-point range if he needs to.
It didn't seem like Kemba Walker had his confidence. What did the Heat defense do to stifle Kemba?
It was also the Raptors. They're doing a great job of zoning his pick and rolls and forcing him to play in the crowd. And when Kemba drives left, he loves to do that step back. But you got to stay on his right shoulder and right hip and make him continue to go to the basket and make a left-handed play or a layup at 6 foot tall. So they've done a good job of contesting his shots and making him play defense on the other side. They're going to need him to play a lot better, and he acknowledged that.
It was so interesting to see Coach Spoelstra adopt the zone that the Raptors used effectively against the Celtics, even though the Heat had not played very much, if any, zone leading up to that game. Now, there's something I said yesterday, that Daniel Theis is going to be a key to this series, and he needs to stay out of foul trouble. Well, not only did he not stay out of foul trouble, he only ended up with 4 points, took 3 shots from the floor when he was out there. Do you think that they will continue to sort of prey on Theis on both ends of the floor?
See, in the East, your guys that are playing the 4 and 5 or power forward in the center, they're legitimately sized. They're 6'9", 250, 260. You know, your 5 is, you know, 6'11", 7 foot tall. But in the East, you could get away with playing smaller ball. The Celtics have done it all season with Theis as their biggest guy and or Tatum or Brown being their taller guys. But when you go against a squad like the Heat, they can play taller, bigger, but also play smaller and put guys like Crowder out there who can play in theory against Theis alongside Bam, who could do a lot of switching. And so the versatility of the Heat front line is also something that garnered him to be in foul trouble. He's another player along with Kemba. They're going to need to play a lot better.
Jalen, I'm so glad that you brought up Jay Crowder, because I love Jay Crowder, and he was so good when he was on the Celtics. Remember, he went to Cleveland and just kind of disappeared, and then he was in Memphis and no one really talked about him. In the bubble, in Orlando, he has been a true revelation. We all thought it was going to be Bam Adebayo who would stop Giannis Antetokounmpo. It was actually Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is shooting like 40-some percent from three, and it was no different last night. 22 points, and he was 5 for 9 from three. Can they continue to rely on Crowder in this way?
I believe so, especially if he's going to be wide open like that. Shout to Marquette between Doc Rivers and Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, and now Crowder getting love. But here's the deal. He's a former Celtic. So is Olynyk. So when you've been in a locker room that had the same coach and a lot of the same players, you should know how the secret sauce is made. And I'm pretty sure they're sharing that with Eric Spoelstra. And that's why, to your point about zoning, they zoned in the regular season also against the Celtics more than any other team. And now it's carrying over to the playoffs.
Jalen, if we're talking about the Heat, you know we're going to talk about my white guys, Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. Tyler Hero was great last night. Look at that stat line. 12 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists. Huge buckets from Hero, especially in the fourth quarter of the Eastern Conference Finals in his rookie year. No fear whatsoever, pulling up from everywhere. But I will say this, Duncan Robinson, I'm going to need more from you. I believe in you, Duncan Robinson. You need to believe in you, too. I believe in you, Duncan Robinson. Represent for us. Jalen, I have a plot twist that you did not see coming in the saga of Maya Moore. I will tell you what that is right after this. Can the Celtics even the Eastern Conference Finals with the Heat? Find out Thursday night at 7 p.m. on ESPN, and get ready for the game 6 p.m. with the NBA Countdown crew and Jalen with a fresh haircut. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, with so much going on the court in the playoffs, it's important we don't lose sight of the fight against social injustice. So that's why we will bring you a new message of the movement. Today's message is Justice Now. What does that mean to you?
See, this show is going to continue to apply pressure, and I appreciate that for national consumption, because we're going to celebrate the playoff prowess of so many great heroic things that are taking place on the floor. But I'm glad we're highlighting the amazing reparations and field position these players continue to garner by having Black Lives Matter on the floor and allow us to talk about social justice. Justice Now means so very much today because Breonna Taylor's family is going to garner a settlement of around $13 million from the state of Kentucky. That does not absolve, however, the police officers who still should be arrested for and jailed for her murder. Those are two different things. We will keep you posted.
Good point. Jalen, I have a very interesting update in the saga of Maya Moore and Jonathan Irons. Jonathan Irons is someone who was incarcerated for over 20 years. Maya Moore fought and fought and fought for his case. So much so, she did not play in the WNBA to bring attention to this case. And today, they have announced that they are married. What does that tell you?
So ultimately, she ended up fighting for her husband's freedom, which is noble whether he's a stranger or not. What I'd be curious to figure is when she actually fell in love with him and or vice versa. I'm pretty sure they're going to be asked. I can't wait to hear the story. Congratulations.
I read the story about
them.
It. I
know
encourage
we support
everyone
power couples
to do the same. They are truly a power couple. We will be back tomorrow on ESPN at 2 o'clock. Jalen, we always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is doing exclusive content for the podcast. And we always celebrate power couples in this program, right? We love power
couples.
Yeah,
we do. Yeah, we do.
Jalen, we're in jeopardy of losing one of the most powerful power couples in the land. Cardi B has filed for divorce from Offset. Now, original reports were that she was asking for full custody of Culture. She has then cleared up some of those comments and said that she's looking for joint custody. She's kind of softened some of the demands that were in the original filing. Jalen, do you think this is a tactic, or do you think they are headed for a true divorce?
They're adults, and when you're public figures, the first thing people try to do is line up when your next project is happening. So I saw a few people like, wait a minute, she got an album coming out. When is his next album coming out? When do they have a movie coming out? What are they trying to do this for publicity? That's what some of the talk will always be around celebrities, because when you're a public figure, people just are all in your business a little too much in a lot of cases. But ultimately, it's about happiness. And we've seen both of them publicly have some turbulence. We don't know how true some of the speculation and or the reports are. So when the speculation happens publicly, like a fishing pole, it brings us more into the speculation of the relationship. And so I believe it's legitimate. This isn't something that you put out there based on trying to sell records when you're as successful as both of them are as artists. Plus, as you mentioned, they have a daughter. So I will hope you're not playing those games in any way, shape, or form, because you don't want your daughter to be in the middle of a tug of war. And we'll see how it plays out, but it's all about happiness. And if they grow apart to go towards their goals, then we got to respect that.
I love Cardi B so much. The Jacoby family celebrates Cardi B. Every Cardi B social post, the Jacoby family, just me and my wife, we look at it like the Zapruder film. And one thing we know about Cardi B, always right. The delivery might not be the most articulate, like a Barack Obama speech worthy vocabulary, but the underlying sentiment and things that she is expressing are always 100% accurate. always. And I support Cardi B. And
can I tell you something that I feel she and I have in common? I usually don't try to share like intimately my feelings with the public. I like to protect them for myself. But let me tell you a trait that she and I have that I initially saw in her that I really liked. It has nothing to do with music. It's a duality. And I'm getting counseling from my J&J fam as I put this out there.
Okay.
One, no, we're both strippers, D. Actually, I would not be surprised if I didn't see her at one point at Sin City.
Shout out to Sin City.
Patronized that establishment.
RIP Sin City. Only reason I would go to Yankee games.
Oh, I'm thinking, I'm sorry. That's for the Yankee game. What about Yonkers? My other spot, Sue's.
Sue's Rendezvous, of course. That's too far away from the city for me. Too far from the city for me.
Well, you got peeps. Well, I got peeps in Yonkers. You know, shout to the locks. But with that being said, we have a duality, she does. And it makes you vulnerable because the first thing is you can tell she speaks with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
She speaks with emotion. I do that too, and I know it. It's not necessarily my best or worst trait. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I know I do that for sure.
Yes. She ain't Kawhi Leonard with it.
Correct. And then the other thing, brutally honest. Brutally honest. And so what ends up happening is some of the things that she says, when they come out of her mouth, it's like, it's almost like bullets flying at you before you can even digest what she says. Cause it's like, whoa. Like you just said with you and wifey. It's like y'all were listening to watching her post. And the first thing you said was, her delivery may not always be,
it's not a Barack Obama speech. Not the most articulate, not the vocabulary isn't exactly Harvard graduate, but the feelings and the expression that she's getting across hit home, and she's a truth teller.
Correct.
She's a truth teller.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Well,
when I'm in court with my hand up, I'm telling the truth.
Mm.
For sure. Whether you like it or not. And I'm glad I get to preach for a living talking about sports and entertainment.
Jalen, with Mike D'Antoni out as the head coach of the Rockets, I saw a headline.
I got something funny, Jacoby. As we get to the serious topic, Mike D'Antoni, we're going to go back to that. But Demetrius just reminded me of something.
Okay.
And this is therapeutic. Please follow me.
Okay.
He brought up Cardi B, and then he acknowledged that she once was a stripper. And unlike most analysts, when you talk about New York, maybe if you want to do a throwback thing, you might ask them about Patrick Ewing, or you're trying to remember Allen Houston or Latrell Sprewell, you giving them flowers and stuff like that. I knew the names in the cities of those spots really easy.
In New York City?
Really easy. Oh yeah. We were like,
Jalen,
in the Bronx. Jalen,
I will one up you. I will one up you on that one all day. I've been here for over two decades. There's not one I've never been to. I have been to this place right by the Empire State Building called Rick's. And I was in there. And it was, I don't know, it could have been 10 years ago, could have been 10 months ago, but I was in there. It's right by the Empire State Building. And I was sitting there being like, I've been to this club when it was called Club Paradise. And it was 1998. And I would go to the club and I would probably have like $27 in my pocket thinking that I'm rich. You know what I mean? Thinking that I am rich. And here I am. Two and a half decades later, standing in the exact same place with a brand new layout, completely gutted, completely renovated, but still the same old Club Paradise I've always been to. There's not a single one that I have not been to in New York City. Some of the ones in Queens I haven't hit. Some of the ones in Bronx I haven't hit. But in the island of Manhattan, I've been to every single gentleman's club. And I can say that with confidence. Every single one.
For all of our listeners 10 years in, do you see how a great counselor gets his subject on the couch? You see how Jacoby was fighting it at first. He was trying to move on to talk Mike D'Antoni. I knew it was more into him about that topic. Now, let's talk about Mike D'Antoni.
Well, actually, can I fix something I just said? I've never been to like those super fancy ones that have a steak, like the penthouse and the hustlers, like those big warehouse ones that take up the whole block. You got to have like $4,000 just to like get to the front of the line. Like, I don't do that. I don't have Jalen Rose money. I go to the regular ones. I go to the regular ones where they get $20 dances, not $20,000 dances. You know, I don't do those. Never, ever that. All right. Back to NBA topics that won't get us fired. Daryl Morey is going to be under review by Tillman Fertitta. Now,
when you don't meet your goals, everybody's under review by the owner, by the boss, by the president, by the GM, by the coach, by the best player on the team. That's just how this, by the media, by the fans. That's just how this works. So we're not gonna constructively break down the Rockets' emotional woes in the media and give them an out either. They also disappointed. They also got bounced. They also showed that micro ball can't win championships and not relying on getting rebounds and thinking that the basket ain't 10 foot tall and you're going to always need height. And now they got to figure out what they're going to do with Russell's salary and James' salary, who it don't matter if they change Mike D'Antoni. Guess what James Harden is not going to be doing? Moving without the ball.
Or
he might be moving without the ball.
Yeah. He's not going to restructure his contract.
You think James Harden now about to be allowing somebody else to run the offense Steph Curry and spot up on the weak side?
He's going to turn into Steph Curry, run to the baseline under two screens.
That ain't happening.
For somebody else.
A basketball player and an athlete, Jacoby, is like a baby. You got to teach him while they're young. You want them to learn to swim? You want them to learn a secondary language? Do it while they're young. Once they win MVP, they ain't changing.
No, they ain't changing.
So I don't care who the coach is. James Harden is still going to be 15 dribbles at the top of the floor if they allow him to go one-on-one. That's what it's about to be. So, yeah, you can change Daryl Morey if you want to, but that ain't about to change what's happening in that salaries in a salary cap-driven sport, because Russ will be on the team. And you know how much I love Russ, but they're going to have him out there 6'1", 6'2", playing the five. That's what the salary is going to designate, unless they make a change and just get away from micro ball.
We only have so much time left, but something needs to be acknowledged. We were on this show. You say Clippers, I said Lakers. We go on First Take. They build a whole segment about you saying Clippers and I say Lakers. We're going to get up. You say Clippers, I say Lakers. And whenever I would say Lakers, you would just have so much emotion and so much confidence. You would just be so convinced that I was wrong, looking at me like I was an idiot, like I didn't know what I was talking about. And you really put a lot into that. Is there anything you want to say?
I was wrong.
That's all I needed to hear.
And how about this? So on wax and off wax, I've also acknowledged to you that the Lakers should beat the Clippers. I ain't about to give the Clippers an excuse, and I'm about to go down with them, because when Paul George said at the press conference talking about we didn't know that we ain't think that this was a make or break year or do or die year, like what?
About?
What is he talking
about? You see your
about?
Roster? you did something really good in the TV show. You broke it down. Like, they got the best in the front office, Lawrence Frank and Jerry West, the best head coaches, the best assistant coaches, the best players. That's a championship team. This ain't a rebuild. Y'all, not the Hornets. You got the best in every phase of your franchise. You probably got the best cheerleaders, too.
They about to have the best arena. All of that. All
the best
that.
Everything. You got the top of everything. That's a championship. That's a
and
championship.
You, get to play
you had championship aspirations. This is championship or bust, and you busted. Just eat it and go home. Another thing I got to say to close this out, just because you were wrong doesn't mean I was right, because the Lakers haven't held up the trophy yet. Let's just say that. Who knows? We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
All I know is the internet is undefeated and Way Off P is classic. We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.